Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be sharing this time with me on this January 11th day, 2020. We're going to look at a subject that is really interesting, and I've had about, five or six of these emails come into me over the last 4 months, and I've entitled this program, Just Can't Get There. I wonder what that means. Well, we'll share that with you. I want to thank those of you who were kind enough during our fundraising drive to support us and to make this radio program possible. I really want to thank you. It was a good year end this year, and I can't say that for the last four or five, but I can say this has been one where people show generosity, kindness, and how important this radio program is. And I want to thank all of you who supported, who made donations, and allowed this radio program to continue. And all my other offerings, my work at hospice and my work with the BATMO with kids. There are so many things that Aspire does, and it would not be possible without your loving support. And I want to thank those of you who were kind enough and had kind of the foresight to see what needs to be done in this world and helped me. I want to thank you with all of my heart. Okay, let's get to the questions. These are very unusual questions that I'm going to be sharing with you. I get a kick out of people who write like this. They have legitimate questions that most people won't answer. Most teachers would not answer. But I think they're very, very important, and they show intent, devotion, that kind of thing, which is way off the charts for most people. To have intent and devotion. The first one comes from Lillian. She does not tell me where she lives. Are there things that a person should not or cannot do? Like you. I listen to you. I enjoy you. I feel drawn to you. I want to go to your workshops and retreats, but everything gets in the way. Everything that I do makes it impossible for me to be there. What do I do, Greg? Am I not meant to meet you? Lillian, this is a tremendous question. I went all the way to India in 1973, and it seemed like an impossible journey. I went with the intent, obviously, to meet an awakened being. I had read about them. I had heard about them. I had realized that this was my only chance. It was right after my ordination, and I went for it. And it cost me an arm and a leg and my career, actually. And people told me that it would, you know, cost my career. I was never taken seriously by my colleagues and people, you know, my colleagues made fun of me and said I wasn't true blue and that I was a traitor and all these other things because I wanted to spiritually awaken. I could see the absolute stupidity of doing anything else other than allowing myself to spiritually awaken and to teach others that, because that's how I saw my job. And unity in those days was supposed to be open-ended. So they sold in the bookstore, you know, Eastern teachings and books about Eastern teachings. So I didn't think much of it. And I had to sacrifice a great deal, just like you need to sacrifice a great deal. So I had to get on an airplane and forsake my future as a minister of being placed in the field and all that other good stuff. And as my intent grew, as my leading grew inside of me, I found that doors started to open up for me. Now, I wasn't sure how and why these doors were opening up at the time, but this started to happen, that started to happen, and I found my way here and there. And Lillian, I was actually planting seeds for my future that I knew nothing about, absolutely nothing about. Believe it or not, these seeds germinated in me meeting the boys, as I call them, and making beautiful meditation music for my students, but I had no idea that was going to happen down the line. I had no idea. I just kept one foot after another, you know, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. And what drove me was the intent for spiritual awakening. I didn't want to waste my lifetime doing, saying, and living things that were not going to be authentic, that were not going to be eternal. I wasn't interested in being rich and happy, you know, in that regard, which congregations are full of those people. I wasn't interested in platitudes and longitudes of philosophy. I was interested in the nitty-gritty. What was this all about? Now, I was young. I don't know how old you are, Lillian. I have no idea. But I was young. I didn't have a ton of baggage. My parents had just died. So I had nothing. I had nothing to lose, and absolutely, in the literal sense, everything to gain, as one would say. But I had to make an effort. I had to go forward. I had to do the things that everybody told me not to do. And even, Lillian, to this day, I can tell you that my common sense told me not to do it. Said, you know, if you do this politically in the system that was there at the time in Unity, you're dead. You'll never have a good chance at a church where you could make money. And that's all it was really about, is making money and getting prestige for it. So I did it anyway, because I didn't want conformity, the status quo. So Lillian, what I'm saying to you is, everything is not against you. It's just everything within you is against you. Everything that lives within you is against you. How you live and posture yourself inwardly is what you're up against. You're not up against bad people. You're not up against fate, as it were, that's saying to you, well, don't go meet Greg Penn. A teacher such as myself is hard to find. And we don't do the national thing. We hide in little crevices and corners here and there all over the world. And to find us, you must have the initiative to come and do it. You must want it with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, as Jesus said. You have to. And there has to be a sense of intent and humility to come and meet a person like me. And you will find that meeting, just getting here, is one small problem. The bigger problem is going to be how to sustain it and keep your practice, keep your time up with me, so you can imbibe energies that I am sending out. You've heard the call through the radio program, through the TV programs you've been saying you've watched. But now you have to go a little further, a little deeper, beyond the copper mind, as it were. And that's a difficult thing to do. It really is. And depending on how old you are, where your intent is, what your life means to you and what it doesn't mean to you, will all set the course of your lifetime. And set the course of whether or not you get to meet, whether it be me or the very few authentic teachers that are out there in the world, you get to meet people like us and really work on yourself. I would say, you know, based on what I've read here in your email, it would take a Herculean effort on your part, and you would have to forsake a great deal to come and be with me. You would. You would. There'd be a lot of forsaking. Lifestyle, beliefs, attitudes, the philosophy you live by, all of that. And whether or not you have the accoutrement to do that, whether or not you have the courage, the guts to do it, I do not know. That's up to you. But there you are, Lillian. I hope that helped you. And maybe one day we will meet. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know that old saying, many are called, but few have chosen? It's truly, that's a quote from Jesus. That's truly authentic. All right, here's another one from Carl. He does not tell me where he lives. Are we all meant to awaken, as you say? Or are there some of us who will never get it? And if so, why? Carl. Carl, there are many, many people, the majority of people in this world, who will not get it. They don't want it, so they don't get it. I have students who have been with me for years. They don't get it either. They don't want it. What they want is convenience and ease and comfort and all the things that most people live by. They don't want the authentic. They're not interested in the authentic. They're not interested in going deeper into their own life. They're only interested in what will the practice give me that I don't have right now. So they never get it. Trust me. And I have them by the loads. But they're there to be exposed to the authentic through me just in this lifetime. This is the best they'll ever do, just to be exposed to it. So you ask me, are we all meant to awaken? Every person can awaken. Whether they're meant to awaken is another story altogether. That's up to the individual. It isn't like the fates, you know, you were fated to do this. Everybody has a fate and a destiny, but it is determined by the devotion a person has to their heart and their soul. And if you don't have a soul, then you will never find me. If you're not interested in your soul, you will never find me. You have to be interested in things that the common person, the ego of a common person, would not be interested in. And if that is not enough, you also have to have what I call the gumption to want to understand, to awaken beyond the confines of the pedestrian mentality that most of us have and suffer from. You must want what is not the norm. So are there some of us, you ask, who will never get it? Yes, not in this life, and maybe not in many, many more to come. Yes, there will be a majority of people who listen to my voice who will never get it, because to get it is to change, is to be authentic. We are not authentic the way we are. What we are is a kind of a, how do I put it, the result of our DNA and our genetics. We're kind of haphazardly put together by ourselves. We take a little bit of this genetic inclination and that genetic inclination and this impulse and that impulse, and we put it together and we call it us. We call it the self. We call it whatever. There are people who are very good at their genetics and their DNA. You see them in athletes. Athletes are very interesting people because they live off of their biology, their genetic heritage, their DNA, and they have that instinct to win and to fight and all of that. And we admire all of that. We think that's an accomplishment, but it's not. So even if you were to, so to speak, be in the presence of me in an effort to awaken, if your demeanor is not correct, if your inner posture is not correct, you're going to miss anyway. It won't matter because you're just not in the inner posture or position to see the gravitas of your life, the meaning of your existence, and the beauty of your heart and soul. You're just not in that modality at all. So how can you get it? How could you ever possibly think of getting it? Futility is a very powerful tool. And one of the things I have found in the course of my lifetime is that in the beginning, futility is the greatest teacher most people have. It is the teacher that tells them that which they can do, that which they can't do. Futility over and over and over again in lifetime after lifetime, where they are not easily giving up, but they see they're at a dead end, a cul-de-sac, over and over and over. And then a little bird sits on their shoulder and whispers in their ear somehow, go this way, not that way. And out of futility, out of pure frustration, they go that way. And all of a sudden, the doors start opening up like they did for me when I went to India. So you start to realize deep inside you what the significance of your life is. And if you're not interested in that significance, which most people are not, they're interested in lifestyle, ease, comfort, having fun. If you're not interested in the significance of your own lifetime, nothing I say would be of any real meaning or value to you at all. So there you are. Carl, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know you, but I can tell you what you need to get here and what you need to stay here with, and that is that burning, burning inclination to want to transcend. If you don't have the hunger and thirst, as Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, to transcend, to go beyond the common rationale of human belief and theory, then you will never, never find any of this meaningful at all in your life. Not any of it. Goodness and mercy follow the person whose inclination is to be pure in heart, as Jesus put it in the Beatitudes. So the authentic practice, well, it is the one that asks the most of us to change, to, so to speak, pull away from culture, society, DNA, genetics. There's so much involved in it. And when you hear people talk about it like myself, everybody thinks it's a cult or they think it's, something evil. It isn't. The evil is your own family. The evil is the society you live in. The evil is the government that governs you. The evil is that you need all these things so you can survive. And that is the heinous part of the way we live in this world. So there's my answer. Not you ask the if so why. I just told you, all of us are capable of awakening. Few of us want to awaken. Few of us are willing to pay the price of that, to be the black sheep, as it were, and to live our life in accordance with a love that is far greater than the human love that we suffer from and want so badly. So there you are. Thank you for your beautiful question, Carl, and please forgive me. Namaste. Not inspiring answers here, huh? The last question comes from Tim. I want to meet you. I need to meet you. I need to sit with you, but it never works out, no matter how I try. What do I do and why? You really have to push it. Tim, you're going to have to push it. You're going to have to give up whatever you think is in the way, whether it be money or time or family obligations or family telling you don't do it or whatever. There's all sorts of influences that people have to live with that force them into a place where they never mature. You really have to want this. People have the oddest ideas. And the more I'm around them, the more I realize the futility of the world. They think just because they may think that they understand, let's say, the practice, and they turn it into a philosophy, people will say, Greg, what is your philosophy? Well, you know, it isn't a philosophy. It's a way of life. And when I meet people at hospice and everything, and they say to me, you know, well, what's your philosophy or what do you do? And I say, I'm a meditation teacher. That's all I tell them. They shy away. They're just so frightened by meditation. He's going to take over my mind. And oh, he's going to use me like a zombie. Or they watch too many of these screwed up TV programs. And so what can I do? I can't help that person. Deep inside you, Tim, I think you're going to find, if you really were to look, that you're resisting the chance to come and work on yourself because you're afraid of what will happen, what the ramifications are going to be. Maybe your family will reject you. Maybe your friends will reject you. Maybe your family, your immediate family, will reject you. Maybe it has to do with how you have set the course of your life, and you won't maybe take an extra job to work for your practice, which is one of the most noble things a person can do. That is truly noble. And I have students that do that. They take on an extra job so they can come to workshops and they can come to retreats and they can practice their meditations and make their donations and work on themselves. They've lived a life that is very selfish and gratuitous. And now they realize, I need to do something different with my life. So they make amends in their life to do that. Now, if you don't have that kind of moxie, if you don't have that kind of energetic, you'll never be able to meet me. Everything will fall apart. Everything will be difficult. Everything will turn out like it always does, and you will fall into the genetic pattern of your life, and nothing will ever mature. You will not mature. Growth will not mature. You'll live and die the way your parents lived and died. We don't want to believe, or some people do want to believe, they're turning into their mother and their father, but you are. You need to read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. If you read that book, it will help you immensely understand. If you read Sapiens or Homo Deus, you will understand what you're up against in this lifetime. Then you can start to really decide what you want to do. It isn't impossible to come and be with me, but it may be impossible for someone like you to do that because you haven't changed enough. You are not convinced enough within yourself as to the detriment of your own lifestyle. I've had students who are alcoholics. I've had students who are potheads, bipolar. I've had them all in the course of my lifetime. And the ones that make it are not the ones who succumb to their physicality and their psychology. They go beyond that to the meaning and the substance of what it means to awaken. You have to seek awakening. There needs to be a certain intelligence that allows you to do that. And a lot of people just basically have given up their intelligence, their mental acuity, to the pedestrian mentality that just sits and watches TV all day. I'm out of here. Tim, thank you for your beautiful question. Maybe one day we'll meet. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. And as always, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.